Good morning. Today is Monday, November the 1st. Joining us this morning, police chief for a month, Steve Watson. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. That sounds strange to hear, actually.
Yeah, well, there's somebody standing right behind you that's just as frightened.
Right.
Whoever that is. Are you ready for your question here, bud?
Sure. Go for it.
All right. Why do politicians sometimes give a visiting dignitary the key to the city?
I'm going to have to guess that this is a sign of some kind of great trust in that individual. So if we went, I don't know how far back, I imagine cities had some, I don't know, gates or walls or stuff like that. And so maybe that's a...
I told you it was a cream puff. This idea originated in the days when cities or parts of cities were protected by high walls and a gate. The gate, which was always locked at night, could be unlocked with a single key. When a gold version of the key was given to a visiting dignitary, it was a high honor since it symbolized the city's complete trust.
I don't think they had the technology for miniaturization back then, because the keys I usually see are about 3.5 feet long. That'd be something to carry around.
Yeah, well, and gold probably isn't the strongest material to be able to, you know, have that twist off the
single use, right? My trust only goes so far.
Yeah, you get the brass key. Or tin, perhaps. Oh, well, I suppose everybody's asking you how come and why now. So I'll stand in that line. How come and why now?
you know, rather than try to explain all of the complex calculus that went into my decision, I think...
Listen, we know you, man.
Right. I think it's enough just to say that, you know, like most major decisions, it's complicated and wasn't easy to make, but it was time, you know, time for me to take a step back, reflect on nearly a quarter century of faithful service to our community and a couple different communities. Plus some time in the military, and look forward to the next adventure.
25 years for a lot of us is like, that's when we started figuring life out.
Well, you know, it's they say chiefs and presidents age in dog years. And so, you know, in law enforcement, as everyone is well aware, is an exceedingly challenging, you know, profession. And so 25 years in that profession is amazing. I don't regret a minute of it, but it's a lifetime.
California compounding factor in there?
I mean, again, there's just so many different things that go into, I mean, even in my life, personal life, I'm looking at my three oldest kids. So one's already moved out of state, and two more are potentially looking at that in college. And, you know, it's time to be able to be more, also more present with my family. That doesn't mean that I'm retiring out the pasture by any means. Maybe I'll take a little bit of time, but I'm in the middle of graduate school. I'd like to do some teaching, might do some writing. And who knows, law enforcement and public safety is a huge field. So I'm sure there's going to be opportunities out there, and the right one comes along, I'm likely to jump on it.
Well, we look around at what some of the others are doing. Maybe you can wander the halls up at the federal building at the airport with nothing to do, but...
I think I'm good for now.
Wander up and down the hall.
Yeah, that's a bit of a commute, so...
Oh, poor baby. Well, see, then you can get the miles on your rig that you were talking about not having.
Right. That rig might need to last me for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Like another 20 years.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, police science really is interesting. I think the closer somebody gets to it, the science part of it, even if you're not into the badge and the gun part. Have you ever thought about what if you took a different fork in the road, not in the career, but at that job offer, you know, to be a full-time detective or evidence or you know, the forensics and in that arena, more of the, you're going to love this one. you got blanks in that gun or not?
They only give me one bullet, so I have to be careful.
Okay. Who to take out. Okay. More mental rather than physical side of law enforcement. Is that intriguing?
You know, I would argue that the law enforcement today for the modern officer is very intellectual as well. I mean, yeah, there's the hands-on part of things. It's the bread and butter, but we have to know. I mean, technology is exponentially advancing, so we have to stay up to speed with that. Laws are complex and changing. The political landscape is ever-evolving. Society's expectations and demands are impossible, quite frankly, you know, at times, but cops find a way to get it done and persevere. And that's one of the reasons I'm so proud of the people that I work with, because they've been through so much especially the last couple of years, but even much longer than that. And yet here they still are. And,
well, obviously within, some larger departments, obviously you can specialize in those areas. That if those would have been as attractive for you rather than being a beat cop.
I certainly think I'm plenty happy with the trajectory of my career, but some of the detective side of the work I would have loved even getting further into, especially with major crimes. You know, as a captain, I oversaw our criminal investigation section, but really all the work, the nuts and bolts of investigations, was being done by the detectives that we have. Though I did have a chance to interview a kid that was involved in a shooting and get a confession when all else had failed. And that was just a few years ago. I was pretty proud of that.
That kind of stuff, I would think, outthinking. Yeah. Whether it's outthinking the bad guy or outthinking your peers or the folks from that other department or that state agency or that federal agency to come up with the answer.
Well, interview and interrogation can be likened to a science in many ways, and there are several schools on it. I've been to 2-3 of them, and they're actually one area I found very fascinating that comes down to truth-telling and the way that the human mind and emotions work and strategies you can use to get to the heart of the truth. Because most people aren't just dying to confess right off, right? And so learning to tell when someone's being deceptive and not, and how to elicit the truth out of them is actually quite fascinating.
So you're going to move into HR now?
No. Right. Those are some big, from what I've seen, some big shoes to fill as well. I don't envy, like, our HR director, for instance.
There's so much they talk about. In a number of professions, the best sales job happens during the interview.
Right.
Rather than afterwards. I would think dealing with different personalities will be, at least initially, something that will be a huge change for you.
Yeah, one of the things, the higher you rise in the ranks, and really starting at the lieutenant captain level and then culminating with the chief, it's amazing and a little bit discouraging what a large percentage of our time, sometimes it feels like over 90%, is spent on personnel issues. For everything from investigations to staffing to recruiting and retention to relationships to, work environment. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's always something. And
Not the front counter issues.
Right. It's people, because the business is about people. And so it takes up a large percentage of time because people are complicated. And it can be a big challenge. And I think that's true of most workplaces.
Yeah. It's the higher you get, the further
I've become
you're
an expert
it is.
In the last 5 years.
Yeah. See, I told you you're going into right. HR. KINS, News and Information.
Join Warren Eckstein on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
Vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information. Time's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Watson. So, Steve, what have you learned that's going to transfer either to the next guy or gal coming in behind you or for the next chapter for you?
Well, the next man or woman that comes in behind, is obviously, like agencies everywhere, it's going to have many challenges. I think the recruitment and retention issue is something that's here to stay for quite some time. Now we're starting.
It's been here for decades.
Right. It's just accelerated over the last year, which is saying something. I've had the honor of hiring and swearing in a new lateral police officer. We have several cadets getting ready to come to the January Academy. We just got a new animal control officer, 2 community service officers, and a number of other positions, 2 dispatchers. I just swore in the latest one last week. So we're making some progress, but we also have a long ways to go. That's going to be one of the challenges, but they're going to come in with their own experience. They're not going to take this position over in a city like Eureka, I'm confident, unless they have a lot of experience. And so, you know, they'll have to earn their own way. In my retirement, you know, I think it's just a time to, you know, you only have so much bandwidth. And as a chief, every second of every day, a large portion of that bandwidth, even while you're trying to sleep, is on the needs and concerns of the community, safety, the men and women that you work with and their well-being. And so not having that constant weight, so to speak, and it's a weight we very willingly accept going into this, but not having that every second of the day is going to be a huge change. And also I have to consider nearly 25 years of my life has been my identity, and my sense of meaning has been derived from being an active serving law enforcement officer and leader. And this is going to be a big change. I'm not done with the profession, again, like we were kind of talking about, but I may not be chief again. I may go, you know, a different route. And certainly right now I want to take some time to be with my family and consider what's next in my life. Again, finish my degree and finally catch up on some of those things I've wanted to do. You know, for some time.
Building that boat?
What's that?
Building that boat?
No, I'm not going to build a boat.
You're going to build a boat?
Are you expecting some really wet winter or what?
No, I just, everybody has their own little quirky thing that they want to work on, right?
Yeah. You know? Well, that'll be part of the fun is figuring out what that is. Because, again, I've been so focused on this profession, this career, that I really haven't thought a lot about, you know, what's next. Like, I don't golf, so I'm not like I'm running out to the links. I'm either going to have to learn, or that's just not going to be the classic retirement formula, for me.
Just go to the driving range and beat the crap out of the balls.
Now, some trout fishing way up, you know, in the eastern Sierras or, you know, east of I-5 up in some of those fine rivers up there. That sounds relaxing and fun. Yes. Simple, I know.
No. I'm laughing because I think, you know, if I was in even one of those creeks, I know what the first thing I would do. Slip and get wet from my head to my toes.
It's part of the adventure, right?
But now it's summertime, that wouldn't be too bad, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or late, you know, fall.
Yeah. Spring runs.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to know all that melting snow. No. I think that the best part of the season, as I understand it, is, you know, at the end of summer and the fall. So,
yeah. Do you have a checklist? Yeah, the Harvard Business School, now that you're almost a graduate, I'm just looking through the windows at this stuff, not being a graduate. If you write it down, it's like four times more likely to occur. And that gives you that reflection.
Yep.
How are you doing on your list?
Yeah. Well, I just started a new list, obviously, to get through all the things that need to take place, to retire, see the department through the next month, help make the transition to an interim or acting chief as smooth as possible. You know, while the city goes through, you know, what will probably be a lengthy city and select process in selecting a new chief. You know, that's been one of my goals for the time that I have left, is to try to lay the foundation the best I can and make that transition as seamless as it can be.
Make sure you don't have handwritten notes that they're typed.
No, would be digital notes now.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that mean like podcast?
That's not one on there yet.
This
but
is
you know
Steve.
What? Hey, maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Oh, internal use only. certainly the routine will change significantly for yourself as well as the others. What about the family? What concerns do they have?
They have been asking me, practically pleading with me, to retire for at least 2 years now. They want to see their dad more too. And it's not just about being home, but it's truly being present with your loved ones. And again, you know, in the high-stress professions like law enforcement, and I would imagine nursing and others, by the time you come home, like at least for a cop, you're in a hyper-vigilant state all the time. You know, you have all the worries and thoughts of work there, and it's hard to disconnect right away from that and then just be present in the moment and enjoy being with those that you're around, whether it's visiting a museum in London like we were talking about and actually being there and having your full mental and emotional processes focused on enjoying the experience and learning.
Stop talking to the security guards, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. And no, you go in there, and this is no joke. I go into the museum, I'm going, okay, if a terrorist attacks, if this happens, an active shooter takes place, this is what I'm going to do. Here's the exits. That's just the way you're wired. And I do want to keep a certain amount of that because I those are hard earned lessons that'll help me and those I love be more safe. But you to exist in that condition, full time takes a toll as well. And so finding that balance.
Yeah, not that I'm totally understanding, but I kind of get that one. Yeah. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Watson from Eureka Police Department. Steve announced his retirement late last week. In the commercial break, I just flashed to it. You're moving to Florida, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're signing that contract.
And I told you, heck no.
Yeah.
Too many snakes and alligators, for starters.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Too humid.
You are a local. Oh, jeez. So what is – I know it's a personnel issue, so a lot of the process can be discussed, but the details can't. You said you're out at the end of the month. Are you out, or are you going to be there as interim until they determine somebody, or is the selection process going to find an interim? Or are they going to grab Brian or somebody else from inside to bring him up?
Right. So that will be the city manager's decision. Of course, he reports to council as well. I'm sure council will want to be very involved in the selection process for the permanent replacement chief. In the meanwhile, it'll be an acting or an interim or some combination thereof, just depending on the timing of everything. And so, I'll be here through the end of the month and want to help with a seamless transition as possible. But as of right now, that date, is November 30th, and, that's what I'm planning for. And so
you're not going to work on Thanksgiving this year?
I don't know. I'll have to think about that because it's my last one,
I know
here.
You go both ways on that, yeah. Don't you? Your last time or, I don't have to?
Yeah. And, but we will. We'll have dispatchers and officers working, and that's kind of comes with the territory. I've did plenty of those over 25, years. But, it's bittersweet. Like anytime you change something that you're passionate about, a lot of people you really care about, but change is part of life. It's inevitable. And with change, change can be scary. It can present challenges, but it also has opportunities, and it's always important to remember that. And so there'll be new opportunities for me, there'll be new opportunities for my family, there'll be new opportunities for the department. No one person is indispensable, and each person can kind of bring their own unique talents, and vision and things, forward. And so I'll just hope and pray that we get a woman or a man in take over as chief of police that can take EPD to the next level. I feel we've worked really hard the last few years to really lay a strong foundation, bring about a lot of culture change, modernize the department and bring in a lot of training as well that really reflects what the needs of society are today.
Has there been a lot more resources made available to you? I'm thinking, there was a period where there were quick turnovers and stuff, and then Andy was there for period of time, and then your succession to that. the computerization, the digital, all that kind of stuff. That's been over the last 8 or 10 years. And I know there must be frustrations because you can't go out and go, okay, and here's the $15 million to get it all taken care of in one fell swoop, and now we're there.
So one of the things, a couple of the things that I'm very proud of that over the last 4+ years that I've been chief is we got rid of a failed system we had transitioned to and went to RIMS, which is a fantastic record management and computer-aided dispatch system that we very much like and is being widely used in the county now.
Right, that's the one that everybody's right. moving towards, right?
Around here.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have that in place as we went live in November of 2017, a few months after I became chief. And so that was, a great thing for the future of the department. And then we did a complete radio system upgrade and were the first here in the county to go down that path. We had saved a couple $1 million in grant funding that we didn't spend and had some monies to help with what was an over $3 million project. The estimate was $3 to $4 million. I don't remember exactly where we came in. I think it was just over $3 million. But now EPD, the city of Eureka and Humboldt Bay Fire, has the state-of-the-art, most modern P25 compliant digital radio system. Everything from our mobiles and our handheld or portable radios, just on our vehicles and the ones we carry, to the towers, the microwave array, to the consoles in the dispatch center. I mean, everything top to bottom is the newest and the best, and that's going to serve the city and the community for well over a decade to come. And so not having that before us, having got that project done, was huge.
Obviously, there are areas of frustration. I would think high on that one would be homeless.
Yeah, and certainly.
Dealing with not some of the subpopulations within that group. I guess isn't that the PC way to say it?
Well, it's just obviously it's an exceedingly complex and difficult challenge, which is an understatement. And homelessness has been a problem, for decades, and certainly for at least the last 10 years, it's been a big challenge in our community. Eureka is the county seat and the epicenter for so much in our community, so we tend to have, an even larger lion's share of the challenge. But the last 5 or so years, it's certainly accelerated, and not just here, all over the country. I could quote figures and facts
all
and amounts.
All over the country, but, or all over the state?
Well, I mean, places across the country. I mean, if you look at the national statistics, they're rising as well. But the coastal states seem to have the greatest concentration of homeless. And California, obviously, is near the top of that list, but we're not alone.
It's interesting. I saw something this weekend that said there are 10.6 million jobs looking to be filled. So in the past, it was no jobs. No, that's not in the equation.
This isn't the Great Depression. Back then it's far more complex. I mean, I call it the tragic triad, but it's homelessness, mental illness, and addiction, and they're often co-occurring disorders that just have an evil synergistic effect that just further compounds, the issue of homelessness in America.
When you see some of these 20s and 30s with the cardboard signs, do you kind of get a little teed off?
Well, we all know.
You know that there's something going on there, but.
Right. There's no question there are people that abuse the system. But, you can't label. One thing I've learned in the last, 5+ years is you can't label people. You can't label all the homeless into a neat little box. Each one size does not fit all.
Everybody's
each one
got
has
a story.
To be met on their own. Exactly. Everyone has a story on their own unique circumstances, and you almost have to tailor approaches to what their situation is. And it's important to remember that we have a criminal predatory element amongst our homeless population. We've known that since at least the Devil's Playground days. They're still here. They refuse all services and cooperations, and they prey on others, including their fellow homeless. And it very much is a choice for many of them. And we've seen it time again, and that's a fact. But we also have many that are so lost in, their struggles with mental illness, with addiction, that in many cases they aren't able to make rational decisions on their own. And those individuals really need a multidisciplinary approach to try to get upstream of the issues that are contributing to homelessness and untreated mental illness and addiction.
Starting with the mental health,
right?
And substance abuse stuff.
The mental health issues
are
huge.
Abatement.
Over 50% of our homeless from our own surveys have, you know, mental illness, you know, issues that they struggle with.
Clinically,
at least that's conservative.
Recognized?
I would say yes, but how many have not been treated, have not been properly diagnosed, but either the self-admitting during our surveys, but that jives with the information we get from the county, you know, the statistics they do keep. It's a large percentage of our homeless population. Our mental health-related calls this year increased exponentially compared to last year, so in 2020 and 2021 over 2019. And our CSET team, Community Safety Engagement Team, that are out there with the homeless every day, they are handling up to 50% of the Eureka Police Department's mental health-related calls when they're on duty, and including at the local emergency department, which has become a de facto triage center for those in mental health crisis.
Which ought to be a clue for somebody that we need to do something different. KINS, that's my editorial, not yours, because you're drinking water now. It's 8:45.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:49. We're back, final few minutes, and then you are either going to turn into a community commenter or just a faded memory.
We'll just have to figure that one out.
Yeah, well, you know what happened to Downey? Boom, you know, he went right over, same thing.
Yeah, but then he came back as an interim chief somewhere for a while.
Yeah, see, it's not a career-killing move. Perhaps enhancing might be too strong of a word, though, also. I don't know.
I think you used the word redefining earlier.
My
redefinement, not my retirement.
Oh, geez. So what are you looking forward to the most?
Man, I'm excited. I haven't had a lot of time to put thought into it. Starting to sink in. I think, again, just, you know, some rest and being more present with my family and actually thinking about some things I keep saying next year that I'm going to go do and seem to never get around to. And my little kids, my youngest son's 9 and he's all excited, like, oh, I'm going to get to spend more time with dad. We're going to go do this. We're going to go shoot the bow and arrow. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go play games together. And
he doesn't
he's
see the
real
other
excited.
Side of that sword, does he? Yeah. Dad's going to be paying more attention to you. Yeah.
But, you know, that's hugely meaningful to me. You know, and even a couple of my older sons mentioned that, my daughter, and that's really exciting to think about that. And,
so they're looking forward to
it. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any redefined aspirations? I mean, do you want to go into consultancy or are you just going to kind of breathe deeply for a little bit and see what happens?
I had a retired sergeant that I saw last week tell me, no, whatever you do, you need to take the first 3 months off and do absolutely nothing. And one morning you're going to wake up and suddenly you're going to be like, yeah, this is really nice. Because, again, quarter century, my entire identity, sense of meaning, all that's wrapped up into this. And you don't just turn that off. And you don't just turn off being constantly, you know, connected and feeling responsible for everything. You know, those that you lead and the community and all of that. And so I know there's going to be a transition period. I've warned my family, you know, dad might be on a little bit of an up and down and could go into a funk a little bit for a while.
Or the energy.
Right.
Pent up energies.
Exactly. And so I got plenty of things to do around the house as well, too. It's just going to be a big change. But at the same time, you know, I'm 50. And so I'm not planning to go out to the pasture. I think having more time is going to be great, but I'm going to want to do some constructive things with my time in the future going forward as well.
Well, once you graduate?
Probably about a year. I got after the class I'm currently in, I have 3 more classes and a capstone project, and then I'll have my Master of Science degree. So it's on a set schedule in law enforcement and public safety leadership from the University of San Diego.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's not sitting in a class.
It's a nationally recognized program. It's outstanding.
You better be saying it's outstanding. Yeah. If you're 1 year away from getting it. All right, it's been fun. Appreciate the time over the years.
Thank you for having me. And for the community out there, thank you for your support and, EPD is filled with amazing people. Take care of them. Support them.
See everybody tomorrow.